Welcome once again to our Sunday message, Sunday the 1st of September 2024. We are continuing with this theme, a question of motive, and this is the third lesson in the series. Just to get going for this morning, let's look at Ezekiel 36 verse 26. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. Then let's turn in our New Testament to Hebrews 8, verse 10. And this scripture is actually quoting Jeremiah 31:33. But let's read it in the New Testament. Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious, precious word. May it bring life to us this morning. We pray that you will change us from within, so that we can manifest your glory without. And thank you, Lord, that no spirit will interfere with this message reaching our hearts for all those within the sound of my voice. And bless us, we pray, as we navigate your precious word. We ask this in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We have been talking about how God looks at our heart. The reason being that the condition of our heart will ultimately determine the outcome of our lives. If we can keep our heart right, which, as we mentioned last lesson, can be likened to a lodestone, a compass, we get an accurate bearing from our heart in the course of life, despite the circumstances. And you see, that accurate bearing is necessary if we want to eventually arrive at our destination, which is obviously arriving at the gates of heaven one day, but in the process having fulfilled our destiny. As we've mentioned, very often things happen in life and we might really be concerned, am I fulfilling God's purpose at any particular time? Much like a pilot in a plane could encounter heavy weather, he loses all bearings, visual bearings. The question is, am I still on course? Well, you see, in a situation like that, what must be looked at is the compass bearing, instrument bearing, as it were, instrument ratings. And you see, our heart, the condition of our heart, is what will determine if we will get accurate bearings. As we've mentioned, it is the enemy's tactic to wreck the mechanism of our heart, so to speak, in which case we might be looking at our inner motives. But because our compass is wrong, those motives are actually wrong. And that's a recipe for disaster, as many people, sad to say, have discovered in life. Last week we mentioned that obviously it's important to start off with a good heart. We need to be born again. That's very important. We also mentioned that the enemy can and tries to damage our heart through trauma and other activities, and this can happen through curses before we were even born, placed on our lives or in our generational line, can be caused by trauma in the womb or even afterwards in life. And as we mentioned, the devil doesn't wait for you and I to grow up before he inflicts this damage or tries to. The good news, of course, is that even though we might have had a wounded heart, with God it is possible for that heart to be restored. We will be looking at the fact that even though our heart might be in good condition, a reliable mechanism to check on for the course of our lives, there is the whole question of maintenance. But before we get into that, there's something that we need to look at, or should I say somebody that we need to look at, because he is instrumental in this entire process. And when I'm speaking about somebody, I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit. Now, God has had a hard job with mankind from day one, as we all know, primarily because of our propensity to sin, to disobey him. And he struggled with the Israelites, as we read in the Old Testament. They were forever coming up to the occasion and then falling away. And in a way, God got exasperated with them. But he had a plan, you see. Fortunately, God always does have a plan. And that plan, he spoke through the prophets. And one of these occasions is this scripture we read in Ezekiel. He speaks about one day in the future. I will give them one heart and a new spirit I will put in them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh. God prophesied by the Spirit of God through his prophets that one day something would happen. This theme was also mentioned by Jeremiah, and we read the quote from Hebrews, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." You see, God is a covenant God, and he had a plan for a great covenant one day. But the terms of this covenant would be that instead of expecting Israel to abide by the law, instead of giving them external laws to live by, which was part of the whole national development, of course, he'd go a step further. And then he says, "I will write my laws. I'll put my laws in them. Write them on their hearts. Write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He was referring, of course, to the day when he would send his son to pay for our sin. But there was something else he was talking about, and that is the promise of the Father, which was the Holy Spirit. You might recall that the Lord, walking on this earth, spent a lot of time with his disciples, teaching them, instructing them, demonstrating the ways of God to them, preparing them to carry his legacy on into the world. And at one stage, he turned around to them and he said, "I have to depart. I have to go. I have to be lifted up." Well, for a start, they didn't have a clue what he was really talking about. But secondly, they said to him, "No, please, you can't go. You can't leave us now." He was a great person to have around. If you're hungry, he could feed you literally out of thin air. Anybody who was sick could be healed. And even if one passed away, they saw him restore the dead. He was a great leader, a great teacher, a superstar. And here he tells them, "I have to go." But he explained to them, "If I don't go, I won't be able to send the Comforter," talking about the Holy Spirit. And you see, the whole point is, as we've mentioned before, he is the Holy Spirit. And he couldn't come to the earth before the blood of Yeshua was shed. When he spoke about being lifted up, he was speaking about, "I have to go." In his life, the Lord himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord," quoting Isaiah, "is upon me to heal the sick, to bring salvation to the earth." His whole ministry was made effective by the presence of the Spirit of God in him. He never did anything in his own strength. He couldn't. He understood that. And the whole point is that he wanted to make this available to everybody. He could only do that by going to the cross, because then, of course, the blood, the precious blood of the Savior, the sacrificial lamb, would cleanse the earth and give the Holy Spirit a right to come to the earth. And so it is, you see, that you and I have access to the Holy Spirit. Now, it's one thing to be born again. That is, to a certain extent, changing our heart from within. But there has to be this empowerment. We are fighting a spiritual battle. The forces arrayed against us are not flesh and blood. It's not merely a matter of intellect. You will never win the kingdom of heaven with your mind, with our minds. We need supernatural empowerment. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one that draws alongside and helps us. And you see, as you and I strive to make sure that our heart is pure, that our heart is right before God, yes, we must be born again. The blood must wash us. We must ask Christ into our lives. We must bow the knee to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. But there's another step the Bible speaks of, and that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we talk about breaking curses over our lives, when we talk about healing a broken heart, all these things are not possible without the Holy Spirit. We talked about damage that might be inflicted on us even before we were born, or even through our bloodline curses. All these things were events that we had no party to in our natural minds. Sometimes we might be able to recall an incident, but sometimes we may not. How will we know? How will we find out? Well, we can do as much research as possible. We can look at our name and the history of our name. That's sometimes an avenue for discovering curses. But ultimately, we need to get the help of the Holy Spirit. The point I'm trying to make is, without the Holy Spirit making sure that your and my heart is pure before God is impossible. God understands that. He had seen with his own people Israel how, despite every effort, every experience they'd had of God's power, they still got into unbelief. They still got into doubt and still got into disobedience. The big fear Moses had when he saw his nation going into the promised land was that they would forget about the Lord their God. And his fear was well justified in the event. And you see, in our lives, God looks at us the same way. The forces arrayed against us are horrific, actually. A day and age where most of the media is saturated with negative thoughts, and even worse, to try and keep holy and above in this environment, in the natural, is impossible. You and I will not be able to do it just with our brain and our willpower. It's impossible. We must have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that part of the Godhead that is available to you and I on a daily basis, here and now, in this world. If, of course, we have been washed in the blood. So you see, this was the plan of God. He realized that, naturally, you and my hearts are hearts of stone. But what he wanted to do was to infiltrate that heart of stone and change it. That's the whole purpose of God. Many people get caught up with this whole business of trying to live a Christian life, in the sense that we are faced with such a whole lot of laws and rules that to try and live by them in this day and age, it looks impossible. It looks impossible. Well, you see, the point is that God wants to change us from within. And that's why this whole question of motive is so important. You see, when you and I allow the Holy Spirit to take over our lives, and please, let me just say right here, it's not a one-off experience. It's an ongoing experience. But the function of the Holy Spirit, you see, is to empower us. And the way he empowers us is that he changes us. He changes us from the inside. If you and I live by the law, we will die by the law. A legalistic lifestyle is a sure pathway to bondage of the worst kind. God doesn't want us to live that way. There are laws, yes. There are regulations, yes. We need to abide by them. But you see, God wants us to abide by them from the inside, with the right desire. Kenneth Hagin shares an incident in his life where he had been involved with pastoral ministry and God had called him to go out onto the teaching field, as it were, to be a traveling ministry. Well, he did. As the Lord required, he was obedient. And he found after a few months that things weren't going well. He was struggling. His family was struggling in many ways. Well, he went aside and he prayed and fasted for 3 days. And at the end of that, the Lord spoke to him. And the discussion went something along these lines. He said, "Lord, your word says that if I'm willing and obedient, I will eat the fat of the land. Well, I'm obedient and I've done what you've told me to do, but I'm not eating the fat of the land, metaphorically speaking." Well, the Lord spoke to him there in that environment and said to him, "Yes, you are obedient, but you're not willing." Can you see that? The man of God had obeyed the instructions of the Lord as best as he could, but there was something missing. What was it that was missing? There was a reluctancy inside of him. He wasn't doing it because he wanted to. And the moment Kenneth Hagin grasped that, he changed his heart, you see. He became willing. He became enthusiastic about what God had called him to do. And in the event, that made all the difference. And ultimately, his ministry was extremely successful for many, many years. You see, God deals with the heart. God deals with the heart. You and I might be struggling to overcome some form of sin in our lives. And we wind up our willpower and we try to do it and we fail. We try hard again and we fail. And what often happens to people is eventually they give up, you see, and they say, "Well, it's impossible. That's the way I was made," or some other excuse. No, we weren't made that way. The enemy has probably pushed us into a corner. But what does God want to do? God wants to change us. God wants to change us from within. I like to put it this way. In my youth at university, I was going along the wrong path as far as alcohol is concerned. Can't say that I became an alcoholic, but left unchecked, the seeds that were planted would have eventually developed that way. Well, through a few series of events, God healed me from that. And to be very honest, there's no desire whatsoever to drink anything alcoholic. I like to say this, if I was locked in a bottle store overnight, I'd probably drink some of the orange juice to keep alive. But I wouldn't have any desire to touch any of that stuff. You see, God changed my heart. He changed something fundamental inside of me. He took away the want to. That's what he means by changing a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He changes the want to, the motive. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I had the same experience with an addiction to nicotine. In the army, there's nothing to do except sit around, get bored, and obviously smoke cigarettes. Became somewhat of an addiction to me. But then once again, through a series of events, through the Holy Spirit, what happened? God changed my heart, changed the want to the extent that I can't stand the smell of smoke anymore. Terrible. For me. You see, what happened? God changed the want to. That's what God wants to do. And he can only do it by the Holy Spirit. And this affects all of our lives in every area. We need to be open to the Holy Spirit to fill us to overflowing, to wash over us. As we give him an opportunity to do that, this is what he does. He comes in and he changes us structurally from the inside. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. I'm emphasizing this point. Without the Holy Spirit, all of these activities are in vain. We talk about inner healing. You and I might have suffered terrible harm in the deepest recess of our spirit man. We might have been injured by circumstances beyond our control. Horrific instances. I think of those hostages that were apprehended by Hamas in Israel and have been rescued. They might have been rescued from that horrific situation, but well do I realize it will take quite a time for those people to be restored because of the trauma involved. And I know very well the only way that could ever possibly happen is if we make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. No ministry, no psychiatry, no drugs, no anything else can really affect that deep healing process except the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the only real heart surgeon. And we need to allow him to do that. You think about somebody going in for heart surgery in the natural. You go into surgery, what sort of patient would be the one that said, no, I don't want this. I don't want that pipe stuck into me. No, you're not sticking needles into me. I won't take those drugs. No, I'm not going to have this. You see, kicking and screaming. Any surgeon will say, well, sir, I'm afraid you'll have to just deal with your heart problem on your own. That would be ridiculous in the natural. Strange enough, in the spiritual, people are like that as well. God wants to perform heart surgery on us by the Holy Spirit. And yet, why is it we kick against the pricks, as it were? We won't submit. We won't allow. It's humble heart, you see, that God can work with. But please understand something. If we do not allow the heart surgery to take place, if we don't open ourselves for him to do as he pleases, that healing will never take place. And the downside is that now we have a compass on board that is defective. We will not be able to make the right decisions. The big decisions in life will be skewered by a defective heart. And you see, once that happens, our motives become colored. They become tainted, as it were. We might be doing the right things, and yet deep down, the motive is wrong. You take somebody who's a very capable person, might be launched into ministry, have tremendous abilities, able to communicate, able to explain, expound, impassioned speaker, etc., etc. But you see, if that person's heart has not been fully restored, and please note, this is an ongoing process. It's an ongoing thing. If that hasn't happened, ultimately that ministry can blow up, as has often been the case. Great people, great men and women of God, despite great success, have gone off track. And the reason being, very often, sometimes deep down, is a sense of insecurity. Won't allow people to operate in their midst, etc., etc. So many things can be the effect of a broken heart or a damaged heart. Deep, deep down, damaged heart. So you see, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse us, but beyond that, to even guide us. Let's just look at a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Bearing in mind that the Lord said, I will write my laws on their heart. The great law, the law of love, gives you and I the right perspective in any situation. But in Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Do you see that? If you and I are walking in the Spirit, if the Spirit is in control of us, He takes away the want to. It's automatic. You don't want to. You won't obey the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You see, the power of the law is now broken because you're not worried about doing the right thing or the wrong thing. The Spirit of God inside of us automatically makes us want to do what is right according to the fruit of the Spirit. There's a bit of a contention in Bible circles about this word Spirit here. Many Bibles put a capital S. In other words, speaking about the Holy Spirit. In a sense, walk in the Holy Spirit. And then you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, what Spirit is the Bible referring to? You see, that's the question. Is that the Holy Spirit? Or is that the human spirit? Some people point out that, well, you see, the word is the same, by the way. It's just that in the context, some put a capital S, referring to the Holy Spirit, and some would read it just as a small s, referring to our spirit. See, the argument is, well, why is the flesh just a small f? That's the human's flesh. So if it's the human's flesh, could it not be the human spirit? Well, not claiming for a second to be a Greek scholar, the answer for me is very simple, really. The point is, you see, the moment you and I invite the Holy Spirit to come into us, our spirit and the Holy Spirit become as one. We're talking about the same combined entity. The point is, you see, that the Spirit in us empowers us to walk according to the laws of God, not by making us super powerful in that our will becomes strong. No. And there is a place for a strong will, by the way, in the right way. But in the sense of changing, as I've said, the want to, giving us a view of something much greater than the mess that the world is in and that the enemy wants us to partake of. My encouragement to all of us is simply this. Let's recognize that we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. There are things we can do, yes, but all of them require the agency, require the assistance, the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's make the most of that covenant that He has made with us, to put the law into us. The Lord said to the people that were questioning Him, "What is the greatest law?" And He said very simply, "The law of love. If you love God with all your heart and others as yourself, you will automatically fulfill the law. If the love of God by the Holy Spirit is shed abroad in our hearts, it empowers us to know the law. The law is written in our hearts. We instinctively know what God wants us to do. When we deal with people, we ask ourselves, what would love do? We'll automatically operate according to the Spirit of the living God. The big question, of course, is, well, how do I become filled with the Holy Spirit? And just in closing, let me just say, it's so simple. All we have to do is realize our need and simply ask. If we ask God for something, He will give it to us. And we have no need to fear that what He gives us is not good. As He explains, a good father won't give bad things to his child. How much more would God not give us something wonderful if we asked? In closing this message this morning, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. A very simple prayer that I encourage you to pray along with us. And the prayer is simply this. Let's ask Father God to fill us with His precious Holy Spirit. Father God, we thank You for the promise of the Father, Your promise to us. You promised us that one day You would write Your law in our hearts. The people of that day did not understand what You were talking about. But we, looking back, can understand. You sent Your Son, so that if we receive him, our hearts could be cleansed. We could be born again. Our hearts could be brought back, as it were, from the pit. But you went a step further, because you realized that that heart had got into that condition because it lacked the power to come against the forces of darkness in this earth. And so you sent the promise of the Father, the Comforter, the one that we can ask to come alongside us. And so, Father God, we ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. And Lord, even if we have asked and prayed that prayer in the past, your word says that we must continually be being filled with the Spirit of God. And so we ask you yet again to fill us. Fill us again, O Lord. Fill us to overflowing. Change us from within. Change the want to. Instead of wanting what the world has, give us a heart of flesh that only wants the wonderful things that you want us to have. The liberty that you paid so dearly for us to enjoy. Deliverance from the curse. Life on this earth of abundance and fulfillment. And life everlasting. Be blessed in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.